Welcome to the show where truth takes the mic, where the world spins fast, but we hold it tight. This is the Howie Silbiger Show on Truth Talk Radio, where the real ones go. Oh, politics, passion, the news of the day, no filter, no fluff, just the Silbiger way. So buckle up tight, let the debate flow. This is your hour, the Howie Silbiger Show. Silbiger Show. Silbiger Show.
And I'm Howie Silbiger. Welcome to the show. We have a lot to talk about. A lot of stuff has happened in the last couple of days, and we really got to talk about it because I think it's therapeutic, at least, to talk about it. I don't know if we're going to make a big difference in anybody's lives by discussing this, but I think at the end of the day, if we don't talk about it, then people will not be better. You won't be motivated. I say people because the general population, but I'm talking particularly about you. You won't be motivated to go out and do something about it. And that's really where the big problem lies. So the week has been not very good for the Jewish people in Montreal. It's been a pretty bad week. We'll start off with the Gay Pride Parade. Why? Because it happened and it wasn't good for the Jews. At the beginning of the week, there was a news article that came out, and there were people on social media who were posting that the gay pride organization, Fierté Montréal, decided that Jews were not going to participate, the Jewish gay groups were not going to be allowed to participate in the gay pride parade because they were Jewish. And because they were Jewish, they supported genocide in Palestine, and therefore they would not be able to participate in the gay pride parade. Now, this, of course, made no difference in my life whatsoever, and I almost didn't pay attention to the story at all. It's not the first time that Jewish groups have been excluded from fringe events because they're Jewish. And so I didn't really see the overt news story in it. But then politicians started getting involved and people started condemning them. And Fierté finally agreed to allow Jews to march in their parade. Good for them. Until the parade happened today. Jews marching in the parade today were pelted with balloons filled with urine by other members of the gay community who were throwing them at them. People marching in the parade were throwing balloons filled with urine at the Jews. They were booed and they were hissed at, and they were threatened. The police, of course, in Montreal never take threats against Jews seriously at all. And so they just stood by and allowed Jews to be pelted with water balloons filled with urine. A disgusting display, to say the least. A horrific, disgusting display. And a horrific attack against the Jewish community that went unanswered. There's no big outcry. Haven't seen anyone really yelling and screaming about it. I saw a couple of posts of people who were still wet from the urine talking about being sprayed with urine. I haven't seen too many people yelling and screaming and shouting that Jews who were initially banned from attending the parade or participating in the parade and were attacked, physically attacked at the parade. There were no arrests. It did not make the news. It just happened because that's what happens with Jews. Things just happen. A synagogue, they asked me not to mention which one they are. They don't want copycats and they don't want people coming by. They don't want the attention. A synagogue was desecrated this week also. In Montreal, a synagogue was desecrated with a swastika and other wonderful, wonderful slogans, like from the river to the sea, like exterminate the Jews. It took the police a long time to get to the synagogue after they were called. I guess it wasn't urgent in the police's mind. And the synagogue asked me really not to tell anybody, not to mention who they are. But it's also disturbing to know that a synagogue was desecrated this week. And then on Friday, we all know what happened on Friday. We were all aware of what happened on Friday. on Friday, a Jewish man was attacked, unprovoked, in a city park. He was attacked. He was beaten up. His groceries and the presents he bought for his children, who were with him, three of his children were with him, were stolen. You can see the video right here on the screen. They were stolen by the man who beat him up. I'm told by people who know him that his injury was a broken nose, that his nose was broken, and the trauma that his three little girls experienced is unbelievable. The video had audio. I'm not playing the audio. I'm just showing you the video. The video had audio to it, and at the end of the audio, you could hear one of his young daughters yelling at the person who just beat up her father. She just watched this guy pound her father, and she's yelling at him, "Hey, that's mine. Don't take it," as he shoved stuff into a shopping bag and walked away nonchalantly. It seems that in broad daylight, a man could go and attack a Jewish guy in a park with his children, just randomly attack a guy. He could pound him in the face. He could spend the time after pounding him in the face, committing a hate crime, pounding the guy in the face, and then spend the time to pick up the guy's groceries, put them into a shopping bag, and then nonchalantly walk away with no fear at all of being caught, no fear at all of being arrested, no fear at all of anything, of no intervention. There were people walking by. You can see it in the video. People walking by, people filming it. The video came from somewhere. Somebody filmed it. And nobody even yelled out, "Hey, what are you doing?" Or "Stop," or "Call the police." Nothing. Not a sound. And I'm sure, I'm almost 100% sure that if it was any other minority group that wasn't Jewish that was attacked in a park, there would be mass outrage. There would be riots in the street. There would be people protesting. But because it was a Jewish guy, nobody seems to care. Now, was this attack related to the Gaza situation? That was the guy who randomly attacked a father and his two daughters. Was he upset apparently there's allegedly a genocide happening in Gaza? I don't know. Nobody knows because they haven't caught the guy yet. In fact, when the Jewish guy who was beaten up called the police, it took the police over an hour to come to the park. When they were asked, why did it take so long for the police to get to the park? They responded, "We didn't think it was an emergency." Now, let me remind you, last week, just a week ago, there was a Christian singer who showed up at a church to sing. He happened to be pro-Trump. He was vocally pro-Trump, an American Christian singer. And the entire cavalry came out, the riot squad, everybody came out and broke up the event because they didn't have a permit, apparently. They weren't granted a permit because pro-Trump people can't sing at churches in Montreal. But when a Jew gets beaten up in broad daylight in a park, it takes the police more than an hour to get there. There seems to be an issue. There seems to be a huge issue. And when people at a gay pride parade, where there are police all around, are being pelted with urine-filled balloons, and I'm sure there was a lot of screaming. I haven't seen a video of it yet, but I'm sure there was a lot of screaming and yelling going on. And the police did not respond, and the police did not do anything to stop the Jews from being attacked. There's an issue. When people feel that they could attack Jews in broad daylight and there will be zero repercussions, one has to wonder, is there a chance, perhaps, that the leadership of the city, is there a chance, perhaps, that the leadership of the police, is there a chance, perhaps, that the leadership of the country has sent a message to the population saying that the Jews are open targets? Go ahead, attack the Jews. Nobody cares. Is it possible that that's what happened? Because that's what I think happened. When we take a look at the liberal government and we look at the attacks on the Jews and the lackluster response from the federal government, from the provincial government, from the Montreal government, one has to wonder, is it possible, just possible, maybe just a little possible, that our leading class are sending the message that Jews are an open target, feel free to attack them, nothing will happen to you. I'm pretty sure that that's what's going on. I can't imagine that anything else is going on, that people feel that they are really free to do whatever they want to the Jewish population. and nobody will stand in their way. So how do you react as a Jew living in a situation? How could you possibly continue to live in a situation where the Jewish population is an open target? And I know it sounds crazy, because we're supposed to be living in a democratic society. We're supposed to be living in a society where Jews are supposed to be like everybody else, right? Everybody's supposed to be like everybody else. You know, there's not supposed to be a difference between you, me, and the next guy. We're all supposed to be together. We're supposed to, it's a kumbaya society. That's what I keep getting told. That if you say something bad against black people, if you say something negative against gay people, you could be charged. There are actually laws that are against it. But you could stand in the middle of the street. You could stand in the middle of the street and yell globalized intifada, which calls for the indiscriminate attack against Jewish people. And not a nary word, not a word. You could actually physically attack a Jewish guy in a park. And nobody's going to yell stop. And the police are going to take an hour to come and see what happened. It's scary, if you ask me. It's a scary situation. Now, I'm asking you, are you afraid to be a Jew in Montreal? Give me a call. You can feel free. This is live. You can call in. 1-877-669-1292 is the number to call. You get in on the conversation. I'd love to hear from you. If you're Jewish in Montreal, are you afraid to be Jewish in Montreal? Because I know a lot of people are telling me that they're afraid to be Jewish in Montreal. They're already looking at ways to get out of Montreal. They want to leave. They want to leave. And in a democratic society, in a society where everybody should be accepted, why are the Jews the only ones who aren't accepted? It doesn't make sense. But then again, it does. If you think about it, of course it makes sense. Canada has never been accepting of Jews. Oh, we've lived a good life here for 100 years. But in reality, have we really lived a good life? The Jewish communities have been under scrutiny forever. During COVID, the Jewish community was blamed for spreading the disease. Do you remember that whole thing with Jewish weddings spreading COVID all over the city? And it was the Jews' fault that the COVID was spread everywhere? Do you remember the blood libels against the Jewish community during the COVID times, during matzah time, when Jews were complaining that they couldn't get matzahs because the French language law didn't allow them to import matzahs, and it was somehow the Jews' fault that the language laws stopped them from bringing matzah in around Passover time. I don't know if you remember all this, but this is all Montreal. This has happened in Montreal. Jews being attacked on university campuses. I was attacked on a university campus. Many other Jews have been attacked on university campuses. Nobody seemed to care. Jews have been attacked on university campuses for years in Montreal, with nobody caring. Concordia University has been the site of many attacks on the Jewish community. In fact, Jews who go to Concordia, Orthodox Jews that go to Concordia, are afraid to wear identifiably Jewish garments in the school. They don't want to be identified as Jewish because they're afraid of being attacked. How's that for living in a free and democratic society, in a society where we have to accept everything? I did a couple of courses at Concordia University not long ago. And I remember being in class where I was told that, you know, this is a safe zone. It's safe for gays, and it's safe for lesbians, it's safe for transgender, it's safe for everybody else except for the Jew. Jew, it's not safe for, but everyone else, it's safe. Why is Jew always excluded from everything? It's a question that's worth asking. It's a question that's worth looking at. Why is it that when politicians condemn attacks against the Jewish community, they absolutely refuse to condemn him as anti-Jewish or anti-Semitic? Why is it always this violent attack against a father? Today, you take a look at all the messages from all the politicians, and they all say the same thing. We condemn this violent attack against a father in front of his daughters. Some of them said Jewish father. They were nice enough to put the word Jewish in there. But a violent attack against a father, not an attack on a Jew, not an anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish attack, but a violent attack on a person in a park. And perhaps in the future, maybe in the next couple of days, so I've already started seeing the rumblings in the comments section on some of these articles that what did the Jew do to deserve this? What did he do? How did he instigate this? We don't know what the beginning of the video looked like. We only know what the end of the video looked like. So how do we know that the Jew didn't instigate it? So, of course, we're turning the tables. The victim becomes the aggressor, much like they turned the tables on Israel when Israel was the victim, and now suddenly they're the genocidal maniacs killing people. And this whole blood libel about genocide is also infuriating and continues week after week, while the government sits back and allows Jew haters to stand in the street and call for the death of Jews. No repercussions. It's scary. It's scary. And even scarier is that the mainstream Jewish organizations, the federations and the B'nai B'ris, aren't organizing mass rallies to get into the street and say, hey, we're not afraid of you. They're not screaming and yelling. They're not even outraged. You read their statements after every attack against the Jewish targets. They're saddened. They're disturbed by it. It's a disturbing trend. We're saddened. Where's the outrage? Why are they not outraged? I'm outraged. You should be outraged. Where's the outrage of our Jewish organizations? They're great to take our money and say, we are protecting you. But where's the outrage of the Jewish organization saying, we are outraged by this attack on our Jewish community. We are not going to stand by and allow our community to be attacked. Where's the tough talk? It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist because they try to kowtow to whatever government is in power because they want to have their backdoor deals. They want to be, you know, in there with the government. They want to be friends with the premier. They never hold the government accountable or the police force accountable. It's time you started holding the government, the police force accountable. How many more Jews have to be attacked? How many more Jews have to be hurt? How many more synagogues have to be desecrated? How many more people have to be pelted with balloons filled with urine before you finally say, enough is enough, we're outraged? Why do we have to sit back and always be the nice people? And people like me who get up and say, I'm outraged, and I'm going to stand here, and I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to tell you I'm outraged, and I'm not going to mince my words, we're called the radicals. Oh, he's radical. He doesn't speak on behalf of the community. How dare you say that, they tell me. You don't speak on behalf of the community. Who gave you the right to say that? I don't need permission to express my opinion, nor will I ever ask anybody permission to express my opinion. I'm a proud Jew, and I will continue to be a proud Jew, and I really don't care what anyone else thinks about that. And I'm a Jew who believes that Jews should be defending themselves. I'm a Jew who believes that if that father who was beaten in a park on Friday had self-defense, had learned self-defense, had he been taught self-defense in whatever school he went to, he would have been able to defend himself and not been beaten to a pulp in front of his children. Yet every time you bring up the concept of teaching self-defense in schools, administrators in schools say, oh, it's too violent. We can't teach children violence. So they should learn it in a park when they're walking with their children. That's where we should learn self-defense. When we're being attacked in the streets. I remember years ago, my people I spoke to who survived the Holocaust, I've spoken to a lot of people who survived the Holocaust, said that the reason they left, a lot of people left before the Holocaust, they were managed to get out. And they said the reason they left was more because they were beaten up in the streets. That it was an open beating and nobody cared. They were grabbed in the streets, they were beaten up, and they walked out. They saw the writing on the wall. Do we have to determine right now that the writing on the wall is there? Are we starting to see that Jews are expendable in Canada? Expendable in Montreal? That they could be beaten in the streets and nobody cares? Where are the good Christians out there screaming? Where are the good people, the good moral people who say this is outrageous? Where's the outrage? It doesn't exist when it comes to Jews. Let me remind you, just a couple of years ago, a black man named George Floyd died while he was in custody of the police. And that amounted to a full summer of riots, burning down cities, One guy. 3 attacks in a week. And not even a peep. Not even a suggestion that Jews get into the street and protest. Not even an outraged email from Federation or from B'nai B'rith or from any organization that claims to represent the Jewish community. It's amazing. It's shocking, if you ask me. The only one who's actually speaking up, there's only one guy and one politician who's actually speaking up and speaking his mind and getting it for that, because, you know, in today's society, you can't speak your mind, is Hampstead Mayor Jeremy Levy. He's the only one who's saying what he thinks and doesn't care what anybody thinks about that. And kudos to Jeremy Levy for doing that. Political correctness should go out the window right now. We don't have to kowtow to anybody. As a Jewish community who's constantly under attack and continuously under attack, maybe it's time we started showing a little bit of outrage. Maybe it's time we started showing a little bit of chutzpah. Maybe it's time we started getting up and saying enough is enough. If we actually meant never again is now, then never again should be now. And that means getting out there and fighting back. That means reclaiming the areas of town that we were banned from being in. That means going out there and fighting the Jew haters face to face, confronting them. Not allowing this charade and this excuse and this masked excuse for anti-Jewism that the Israelis are committing a genocide. It's not even true. But this mass excuse that the Israelis are committing a genocide against Palestinians to mask the fact that they're attacking Jews, not Israelis, Jews, in broad daylight. But Jewish leaders? Quiet. Jewish politicians? Quiet. They release an emailed statement. Oh, I'm upset by this. It's not, you know, maybe this shouldn't happen. Maybe the government should look into something a little more. This week, because a lot of things happened this week, the Prime Minister, Mark Carney, released a statement, which you can find on my Facebook page. I posted it. The Prime Minister, Mark Carney, released a statement saying that they condemn the Israeli decision to take over Gaza and rid Gaza of Hamas. Now, no one should be surprised that Mark Carney condemned Israel for trying to take out Hamas. He already expressed his love for Hamas, that he agrees with Hamas. And so you can't be too upset that he or too confused or too shocked that he released a statement condemning Israel in support of Hamas. This is where Canada is going. The Liberal government is now the Jewish community is very small in Canada. The Muslim community is a lot bigger, so they're playing to the Muslims, which is fine. You can play politics all you want, but there's a real cost on the street to politicians playing politics, especially when it comes to interfaith relations. So when the Canadian government says that they condemn the Israelis, it's a dog whistle to Jew haters to open up against the Jews. And I'm not being a conspiracy theorist because we're seeing it happen. We're seeing the actual effects of globalizing the Intifada. The more you let people scream globalize the Intifada, the more you allow them to actually globalize the Intifada, which is the indiscriminate attack against Jews anywhere in Canada, anywhere in the world, the more attacks you're going to see on the Jewish community. So till now, the attacks have basically been on buildings and inanimate objects. Schools were shot. Firebombs were put at buildings. The attacks were basically on buildings and flags. They ripped down a flag or a couple of flags at the Beth Tikva synagogue in Dollard. But now it's expanding. Globalizing the Intifada is actually expanding. They're actually globalizing the Intifada. They're doing exactly what they said they would do. Why are we always shocked when our enemy says, we want to do this, and they do it, and then we're shocked that they did it? Oh my gosh, they actually did what they said they were going to do. They're actually globalizing the Intifada. They're attacking Jews indiscriminately in the street. They're committing terror against the Jewish community. But they're never going to be arrested for terrorism. They're never going to be charged under Canada's terrorism law. They're not even going to be charged with a hate crime. I guarantee that the guy who attacked the Jewish man in a park in broad daylight on Friday will not be charged with a hate crime. If they catch him, his picture is now circulating, but if they catch him, they will charge him with assault. They will not charge him under hate crime. They will not charge him under terrorism legislation. Even if his motivation was political, even if his motivation was to terrorize the Jewish community, they will not charge him under those laws. They don't want to have riots in the streets because they know that the Jews could be attacked and they're not going to do anything. They're going to remain quiet, and Howie's going to get onto his platform. He's going to scream a little bit, and Jeremy Levy's going to tweet a little bit. But other than them, the communities are pretty quiet. But if you try a Muslim with hate crimes or terrorism charges, there'll be riots in the streets. So for public good, we might as well not do that. Now, this is not my idea. I didn't come up with this idea all by myself. This idea I heard from the Justice Minister of Canada in 1993. When the United Tomatoes in Ville Saint-Laurent was bombed, and a note was left on the door saying that this bombing was in response to Israelis' targeted assassination of the leader of Hamas at the time. A clear political motivation for bombing that school. The man was charged with arson. And when I called, at the time I was writing for a major newspaper, when I called out the Justice Minister, Erwin Kotler at the time, and said, hey, every aspect of this crime fits the legislation that you wrote. And the conversation with Mr. Kotler years later, his answer was, you're 100% right, Howie. Everything did fit the crime. But, you know, we have to weigh what we charge people with the response, with the community response. So the community might respond in riots and more people might get hurt if we charge them with this kind of crime. Therefore, we charge them with a lesser crime and we avoid the problems later. That's what he told me. He was very clear and very honest about it. And while I respect Erwin Kotler and I'm fairly good friends with him, I don't agree with him. If you commit a crime, charge it with the crime that you committed. If I commit terrorism, I guarantee they're going to charge me with terrorism. If I commit an assault against a member of a visible minority, I'll be charged with a hate crime. If this was an attack on a black guy, or an attack on a Muslim, or an attack on anyone who wasn't a Jew, this would be called a hate crime immediately. But the police, in their press conference immediately after this happened on Friday, said, it's too early. We don't know. We don't know if it's a hate crime. We don't know. We can't tell you. We have no idea if this is a hate crime. Of course it's a hate crime. Why else would a man who had just gone shopping with his daughters, bought them all presents, bought his three little girls presents, was walking through the park with his tiny little daughters, why would he have been attacked? What threat did he have to anybody? Why would he have been attacked if it wasn't a hate crime? He was attacked because he was a Jew. And then why would you steal his girl's presents? The IGA bag spilled all over the floor when he was hit. We didn't see that on the video, but this is what I'm told, that the IGA bag went splattered all over the floor. And the assaulter, the guy who assaulted him, you can see it in the video, the guy who assaulted him didn't even worry that somebody would detain him, that somebody would come and get him, that the police would show up. Didn't even worry about that. He spent the time, he spent at least 30, 40 seconds picking up all the stuff that fell out of the bag and then walking away with the bag. So he not only did he assault the Jewish guy, he stole the kid's presents. You got to be as outraged as I am. If you sit quietly, you don't say anything. If you sit quietly and allow this to continue, it is just going to escalate. We are just going to start facing more and more attacks on the Jewish population. And it's going to get to a point where there will be no return. The point of no return. Where the hatred will spread to a point where we can't turn back. So we have two options, ladies and gentlemen. We just have two options. There's only two. Option number one is we continue our course and we let the cards fall where they fall. If we happen to fall into a situation where the hatred grows to a point of genocide, then, you know, we'll face that fact as it approaches us. Or we could demand, we could insist, we could protest, and we could fight back. But we have to demand that our leadership take the role. We have to demand that our federations and our B'nai B'ris and all these other organizations that take such glee in the fact that Jews are attacked and they jump for the publicity, that they responded with a harsh response, which aren't really all that harsh. We have to demand that they do something, that they fight back, that we don't sit idly by and send the message that Jews are an easy target. We have to catch these guys. We have to insist on our politicians. We have to tell them, and we have to insist on it. And we have to vote the liberals out. We have to vote in a government that's going to quell the Canadian population, that's going to control the narrative, that's going to allow the Jews to exist in Canada. If not, we have no choice. We have to leave. We have to go. If we have no choice, if we continue going the way we're going and the government continues the way the government's continuing, then we're not going to have much of a choice but to get out of Canada. Because those who stay in Canada will face the wrath of the Jew haters, who will not be stopped by the governments, who will not be stopped by the police. Don't forget, the mayor of Montreal told the police force to stand down and to not stop the hate speech that takes place every Sunday during the pro-Hamas rallies in downtown Montreal. Don't forget, the mayor of Montreal refuses to call anything anti-Jewish. And if she does, she'll say it was anti-Jewish. We have to stop anti-Jewism, anti-Semitism, she'll say, and anti-Islamophobia. That's what she's going to say. Because she can never say that Jew hatred is rampant in her city. And it's not because she denies it. It's probably because she agrees with it. Now, I'm not saying that she's a Jew hater. I wouldn't say that. But I'd say that her actions have allowed Jew hatred to spread across the city. And so she agrees with her actions, I'm sure. Just trying to avoid her suing me. You could call in. 1-877-669-1292 is the number to call if you want to get in on the conversation. I'd love to talk to you. Are you afraid to be a Jew in Montreal? 1-877-669-1292. I speak to a lot of university students. I have the pleasure of knowing a lot of people who are in universities. And they tell me that it's hell on campus. Doesn't matter what campus they're on in Montreal. I know people on pretty much all the campuses in Montreal. And they tell me that being on campus, being a Jew on campus is hell. And the universities aren't doing anything to help the Jewish students there either. And if I had to report every attack on a Jewish student on a university campus, I'd be on for 5 hours a night. It's that bad. And nobody seems to care. So when we see this, and when we understand this, and we know that we are the perpetual victim, and that even when we're the victim, and even when we say we're the victim, and even when we cry victimhood, we're put down for claiming to be victims, and then we're told to burn in the gas chambers. We know that the time is coming very soon where we're going to have to vacate. And I know I keep saying it. I know I keep repeating myself, and I hate repeating myself. But we're coming to that time. It's coming to the time where we're going to have to leave Montreal. We're going to have to leave Canada. Unless some drastic measure is taken right now to change things. But what could the government really do? Once you embed hatred, it's there. Once you embed hatred in society, it stays there. Just take a look at Europe. Many people have told me that, you know, once the Nazis left Europe, Nazism disappeared. That's not true. You convinced an entire country, convinced a couple of countries to hate the Jews, that hatred doesn't disappear. That hatred stays forever. I can tell you in 1991, I went on the March of the Living, and the hatred was there. You felt it. The tension was in the air. You saw the full cart of Jews with long noses and big ears. This is in a country where Jews had not been there for 50, 60 years. And then suddenly you come there and you notice that their full cart is still the caricature of the Jew. It's scary when you think about it. But ideologies last forever. So once you embed it in society, once you ingrain it into society, that's the kind of society you're going to live with. Let's go to the phones. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Howie?
Yes.
Hi, it's Fanny. How are you?
I am good. How are you, Fanny?
I've been listening to your show. I've been waiting for it all day. The incident, well, you pretty much covered it. I'm disappointed in some of our elected Jewish officials who we have not heard from.
Why, did you expect more?
I'm sorry?
Did you expect more from the Jewish officials?
Well, yeah.
Why? Have they ever proven... One second, Fanny, I'm sorry for... let me just ask you this question. Have they ever proven to you that they actually care about the Jewish community?
Not recently.
Okay.
Not in the last couple years.
All right, so why did you expect more from them?
I always expect more, Howie, and I'm disappointed. I'm so happy I didn't vote for a certain particular Jewish elected official. And I for sure I'm just going to have to start voting conservative. What can I tell you?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are coming to that conclusion. I think it's come to the point in time where we look at liberals and we wonder, how could a Jew vote for a liberal for the liberal parties these days? It doesn't make sense.
No, not anymore. But as far as being a proud Jew, to answer your question, always been a proud Jew. I'm not scared. I mean, I don't put myself in stupid situations,
right. But
I'm not scared to go wherever I need to go. And if somebody's got something to say, they can say it. However, the situation here, honestly, I'm always going to be a proud Jew, happy to be Jewish, the whole bit. However, it gets tiring. When I have dealt with anti-Semitism my entire life, and I am tired. No kidding.
Fanny, I've been doing this show for 30 years, literally 30 years. And I've been talking about the same topics for 30 years and nothing has changed. And that's really the sad thing. I did a very similar show as tonight's show about 25 years ago when Jews were being attacked in the subways of Montreal. I did the same show 15 years ago when Jews at Concordia were being attacked on a daily basis. This is not new and this is not changing, but it's just getting worse because now they're doing it in broad daylight in the middle of parks in the middle of the city.
I feel for that father. I'm horrified for those children. They have to watch it. And honestly, I really wish he had tried to fight the guy back.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't teach martial arts to students. And
we have to rely on the parents to do that.
Yeah, it's a very, very sad situation that the Jewish community, that are paid Jewish community organizations, the ones that the majority of the Jews donate their monies to, tens of millions of dollars a year, don't put on free martial arts classes, encouraging people to learn self-defense. It's a huge shame that this doesn't happen. And this should be widespread and this should be widely accepted and this should be part of our general education as a community. You want security in the community has to know how to defend themselves.
Yes, absolutely. Once a friend of mine overheard at a bar, these American Jews, you can push them, you can shove them, they don't give a, they won't say anything. But an Israeli, don't mess with them. Why? Because they know how to fight.
Right. That's exactly it.
It's not a good situation we're living in. It seems to be getting worse and worse, as you said. I agree with everything you've said so far. I mean, we're in a bad situation. And our leadership, our Jewish leadership, has not said or done anything. It's disturbing.
But not shocking.
The Jews.
But Fanny, what about the other leadership? What about the other people, moral people who live in the world, moral people who should be standing up defending the Jews, because you know they're the ones who are next, right? So the moral people who should be standing up are staying quiet too. Everyone's afraid to say anything. We live in a world where free speech has been really, really condensed to nothing.
Oh, we're still not as bad as the States.
True.
Come on. It's still not that bad here. I mean, anti-Semitism is bad here. It's been bad here for years. But the uptick in the States is horrifying, and it doesn't seem to be stopping anywhere.
Yeah. So how do we solve this? How do we get this to, how do we quell this down? How do we survive in North America as a Jewish community? Is there a way, or is it over?
Well, let's hope it's not over, but we've survived this long. We have to vote other people in. I mean, this is just, the Liberal Party's got to go. That's number one. Jewish leadership, somebody needs to stand up and start something, be it a JDL, a Jewish patrol, or whatever. Something needs to be done to protect Jewish people in the city.
I have to tell you that years ago, years and years and years ago, old ladies were being attacked in the Snowden area of Montreal. And so I and a friend of mine, we worked very hard and we put together a Jewish security force. And the idea was to just walk these old ladies to the supermarket and home without them being attacked, because this was happening on a daily basis. In fact, my great aunt broke her arm in one of those attacks when they ripped her purse off her arm. So we created this Jewish security force. The friend of mine was a black belt in Krav Maga, and we were training. We had quite a few hundred volunteers that were willing to help us out. And what happened? Once the newspaper got a hold of it, and one of the newspapers ran an article about it, suddenly we started getting visited by the police, and then we got called into a police station and threatened. And then my friend was threatened. He was a Russian guy. He was threatened with deportation. And the organization fell apart. And it was only after it fell apart that I found out that we were turned in by the mainstream Jewish community, that B'nai B'rith and Canadian Jewish Congress at the time actually banded together to throw us to the wolves. So when you have people who set up grassroots organizations that are trying to protect the Jewish community, not be aggressive, but be defensive, they're stopped by the mainstream Jewish organizations. They don't want to rattle the boat because that might piss off the wrong guy, and you know they might not get the cooperation from the police force. They might not get the cooperation from this politician or that politician who didn't like it. And that's the problem. It's the backdoor politics is really the problem in the Jewish community, is that they won't stand up for themselves because they're always afraid of pissing somebody else off. And this is really where the issue is.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to threaten the Jewish leadership. We don't like it.
Yeah.
Do something, say something.
Well, it's time for the Jewish community to rise up and say enough is enough. Fanny, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, have a great night, Howie. Bye-bye.
You too. 1-877-669-1292 is the number to call. 1-877-669-1292. Do you think, that it's over for the Jews in Montreal, Jews in Canada, Jews in North America? I think we're getting there. I remember last few summers, at least 5-6 summers, we were covering day in and day out attacks in broad daylight of Jews in New York. I don't know if you remember this, but for a couple of years, every summer we would be covering these attacks of Jews in parks in New York, and we would call on the New York administration, the New York government, the mayor of New York and the governor of New York, and ask them, what's going on? Why are Jews being attacked? Why isn't the Jewish community being protected in New York City? And this happened for years, years and years and years. And the Jews were being attacked. In New Jersey, a Jewish supermarket was shot up just a few years ago. And nobody, there was no outcry, there was no rustling of the feathers, there was no, nobody really, really was outraged by any of it. Not the politicians, not the Jewish leaders, nobody was outraged. It's time that the Jewish community started showing some outrage. It's time that we started saying, we are sick and tired of this, we are not going to tolerate this anymore, and we must see change, or we will change our leadership. It's time that we started threatening the leadership. Both the political class, both the religious class, both the Jewish community class, all of them. Where are the pulpit rabbis screaming? Where are the heads of the kollel screaming? It's just silent. I hear crickets from everywhere. A man gets beaten up in the plane in broad daylight in a park in front of his children. And the most you could do is tweet. The most you could do is put out a lame press release. There's no screaming, no yelling, no outrage, no care. As long as it didn't happen to me, then we're good with it. It's scary that we've gotten to the point of complacency, and our leadership has gotten to the point of complacency, where they're so busy worrying about if a security camera works in a building or not. They're so busy worrying about where they're going to place their volunteer security guards to watch women, mothers and fathers delivering their kids to school, that they've lost sight of the big picture. They've lost sight of the fact that anti-Judaism is spiraling out of control in the entire city. And there's no one there to rein it in. It is outrageous. It is completely 100% outrageous that when 911 was called after this man was brutally beaten in the middle of a park, it took the police over an hour to get there. It's outrageous. It's crazy. It should never have happened. They should have been there immediately within a reasonable amount of time. An hour is not a reasonable amount of time. And when asked why, the man was told, well, the perpetrator had left already. We didn't really see the emergency in getting there. What do you mean you didn't see the emergency? This man was brutally attacked. That's an emergency. Maybe if you got there quicker, you could have caught the guy. The guy was just nonchalantly walking down the street with his red supermarket bag. The one he stole from the Jewish guy he had just beaten up. He was nonchalantly, you see him in the video, just nonchalantly walking away. Maybe if you showed up in a couple of minutes after, or a minute or two or 3 minutes after you were called, you could have caught the guy. Now you're searching for the guy. It's like a needle in a haystack. How are you going to find him? Sure, release his picture. We did. Release his picture. Publish his picture everywhere. Maybe somebody will recognize him. But the chances of him being caught are slim. If he would have shown up in a reasonable amount of time, you probably could have picked him up as he was strolling down the street. With no care in the world. Not even worried that he would be caught. Outrageous. I'm outraged. You should be too. 1-877-669-1292 is the number to call. It's 1-877-669-1292 if you want to get on a conversation. Love to talk to you. Love to hear your view on this. It's outrageous that we have police in the city who just don't care about the Jewish community. It's outrageous that there could be pro-Hamas rallies every single Sunday that shut down entire segments of downtown with people yelling, globalized intifada, kill the Jews. It's outrageous that the police haven't stopped this, that the mayor has allowed this to continue. I know she's not running for mayor. She's done as mayor in November. But how many more Jews have to be hurt? It's outrageous that Jews marching in a gay pride parade would be pelted with balloons filled with urine. It's outrageous. Now, regardless of what you think of the gay pride parade and what you think of Jews marching in the gay pride parade, nobody should ever be pelted with balloons of urine. Nobody should be assaulted. I don't care what they were doing. They weren't hurting anybody. They were doing what everybody else was doing. They were walking in a parade. But they were Jewish, and so they were an open target. Welcome to Montreal. I had a conversation just a couple of days ago where I said that North America is slowly descending into some kind of form of Nazism. And we are experiencing this firsthand. Those of us who understand history, those of us who look at history, those of us who study history, understand the trends, and we see the downfall, the spiral, as we head towards some kind of a genocide. All the markings are there. Look, the Nazis started with passing laws, and then they continued with having people beat people up in broad daylight in the middle of the street. We're going there. And so as we descend into this abyss of hatred, I said that, you know, maybe we should start thinking about leaving Montreal, leaving Canada, and moving to Israel. I know Israel is probably not the best place to go these days, but it's our homeland. This is where at least the Jewish army will be protecting us. At least we'll be strengthening the Jewish nation. The answer I got was, you're crazy. There's no, you can't compare what's happening today to Nazism. Really? Really? Jews are being excluded from a lot of things. They were excluded from the gay pride parade, then they were forced back into the gay pride parade by political pressure, and then they were attacked at the gay pride parade. A Jewish synagogue was desecrated. A Jewish man was beaten up in the middle of the street. You want to call these three isolated incidents? No problem. Let's go to Italy, where Jewish students, Jewish campers, were singing Hebrew songs on an airplane, and they were yanked off the airplane, and when their counselor objected to them being yanked off the airplane, the counselor was mercilessly beaten by security. That's all fully on video. Go look it up. And let's go to France, where the same thing happened in France. Let's go to, we could keep going, right? Let's go to Germany, where Jewish musicians were taking part in a big concert in Germany. And they were in a restaurant, and they were talking Hebrew to each other because they were Israelis, and that's the language they speak. And they were removed from the restaurant, physically removed from the restaurant, told they weren't going to be served there. And then they were thrown out of the concert that they had come to Germany to be in. You're telling me that Nazism isn't coming back? And now we have a Canadian government. It's been around for a while, this Canadian government. And they have never been pro-Jewish. This is the same government that brought in a Nazi war criminal into Parliament and gave him a standing ovation, an actual Nazi war criminal. And this is the same government that condemned the Israeli government and supported Hamas and threw their support behind Hamas, rewarded Hamas. They want to reward Hamas for killing Jews, for holding hostages, giving them a state. It's outrageous. But this is the world we live in right now. And all the woke people out there, all the people who love to say, I'm woke and I believe in the freedom of everybody, are awfully quiet when it comes to this discrimination and this attack on the Jewish community. It's really sad that people who call themselves progressives are progressive in everything else, with the exception of the Jewish community. They couldn't care less. They're the ones who are accusing Israel of committing a genocide. And they're the ones who are conflating the alleged genocide that Israel is committing with the general Jewish population outside of Israel. It's time we call them what they are, fascists. I've argued for a long time that fascism isn't a right-wing policy, it's a left-wing policy. You'd be hard-pressed to find right-wing fascists. But very, very easily can name it. Off the top of your head, you could probably name 20 left-wing fascists. Fascism goes full circle. And unfortunately, the Jews are now the recipient of this fascist tail that's whipping them. Now, we could sit idly by and allow this to happen. Or we could be louder, we could be bolder, and we could fight back. It's time we started demanding, insisting, that our leadership fight back. It can't just be on my shoulders. It has to be on your shoulders too. Call the federations. Call the B'nai B'ris. Call your local Jewish organization that sends you an email every 5 minutes asking you for money so they can protect the Jewish community, and ask them what they're doing to protect the Jewish community. Ask them how we're going to take our streets back. Ask them how is it that a Jewish man could be standing in a park and get beaten up because he's a Jew. Ask them how they're going to protect the Jewish community. Jewish people who want to go outside. How are we going to stop this terrorism that is being inflicted upon Jews right across Montreal and right across North America? These are the questions you have to ask your federations, your B'nai B'ris, and your big organizations that take in tens of millions of dollars a year in donations with the promise that they are going to protect the Jewish community. They're the official Jewish community, they call themselves. Well, if you're the official Jewish community, start doing something. How are we going to take back our streets? How are we going to take back our freedom? How are our students on campus going to be comfortable walking through campus wearing a kippah? How are we going to convince people who decided it's safer to take mezuzahs off their doors rather than put mezuzahs on their doors? How are we going to turn the tide I want to see a plan. I want to hear action. Words are words. Action is action. It's time for the Jewish community to finally demand that their Jewish leadership step up to the plate or step out and allow people who will step up to the plate to step in there. It's time for our city leaders, our municipal leaders, our federal leaders, our provincial leaders to step to the plate or get the hell out of the game. It's time. I'm Howie Silberger. Thank you for joining me. I'll see you again next show right here on the True Talk Radio Network.